Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.
Good morning and welcome to BizNews Daybreak. I'm Asime Nite. It's good to be back after the 9th BizNews conference in the Drakensberg. I was there last week. And honestly, getting to meet members of the BizNews tribe in person was a reminder of why these conversations matter. South Africans are frustrated, yes, but they are also engaged, informed, and very much still in the fight. We start the week with updates from the Madlanga Commission. At BNC 9, the three amigos unpack the government of national unity and business confidence. And lastly, Minister Dean McPherson gives us an update on the fight against the construction mafia. Please make sure you're subscribed to BizNews TV and BizNews Radio because more from BNC 9 will be coming over the next few days. Now, first up, the Madlanga Commission. The Madlanga Commission has moved well beyond one scandal. On the NDB Sunday show, Chris Stain spoke to Safe Citizen founder Jonathan Deal about the latest testimony, including WhatsApp chats allegedly involving Julius Malema, Feroz Khan, and tobacco businessman Mohammed Saeed. The key question is whether this was ordinary parliamentary oversight or something more serious.
Jonathan, over to Economic Freedom Fighters Commander-in-Chief Julius Malema's WhatsApp chats.
Well, I think Julius Malema, from my viewpoint, is trying to soft soap this and make it appear less than what it is. But actually, WhatsApp chats extracted from Feroz Khan's phone in 2020-2023 via tobacco businessman Mohammed Saeed allege that Khan and Malema coordinated to remove then-Inspector General of Intelligence Dintwe, that Khan gave Malema confidential case information he wasn't entitled to as a parliamentarian or just as a South African, and in a Daily Maverick investigator's characterization that Malema provided political protection for Feroz Khan. There's also a funding relationship thread linking Adriano Mazzotti's Conilix tobacco company via Sayed. And I think Malema's actual defense precisely is that he cannot confirm the authenticity of these chats. Only they can, presumably referring to Khan and others. And Malema wants to frame anything that he received from Khan as ordinary parliamentary oversight of public officials. Now, there was a commentary about that by analyst Teboko Kass, who rebutted this, and he says the messages also prove that Malema was seeking personal favors through Khan, not just oversight-related information. And that undercuts Malema's official business defense.
Mm. Why do you think Malema has not been called?
I think the honest answer there is that the commission might not have arrived at that point yet. A commission spokesman has said that the decision will rest with the commission's evidence leaders and that they are determined to ensure everyone implicated is treated fairly. So I think if I had to summarize it, the commission is saying it's really about fairness to everyone implicated, and the EFF, of course, is claiming that it's something else. As of this week at this stage, nobody outside of the commission actually knows which, and we will have to wait and see if Malema is eventually called.
From there, we move to the BizNews conference, where Freedom Front Plus leader Corné Milder gave a blunt assessment of the government of national unity. His warning was simple: being inside the GNU does not automatically mean you are shaping government. He says parties can be co-opted if they forget who sent them there in the first place.
He correctly pointed out in the introduction that Jordan Hilloes has also decided not to go into government. I think he's following my example, because I think you can do much better staying out of government, technically as the leader yourself, while you are still represented in government, and you can do what needs to be done.
It is a sense that being in government, in the government of national unity, you tend to be captured.
If you allow yourself to be captured, I was the leaders of the parties in the government of national unity, we are supposed to meet regularly with the president. The last meeting we had in that respect was in November of last year. Sure. At the Cradle of Humankind. And it was said then, but Mr. President, it can't be like this. We should meet regularly. And it was decided we will meet monthly. Well, we haven't met since November, obviously. But it was fascinating when I was there. I was the only person at that stage who was not part of the executive. And what concerned me was that the other leaders acted not like leaders of political parties. They acted like ministers appointed by the president. And from my perspective, the president was not there as a president. He was there as leader of the ANC. But I think that's a problem. And you can be co-opted if you allow yourself to be co-opted. And I think it all depends. Don't Davi earlier this morning mentioned about executive being a situation where people think it's wonderful and you can drive in a big car, whatever the case may be. Don't be fooled by nonsense. Stand up and represent the people that you want to represent, and don't be shy and afraid to take the ANC head on. That's what you should do.
Also at BNC 9, Gerard Papenfis brought the small business perspective. His argument is that South African business is still being held back by policy, even under the GNU. He says BEE, employment equity, and state interference are making it harder for the very businesses that could create jobs.
I can't say that I notice a change. The thing is, the people, the parties in the government of national unity place according to the tune set by the ANC. They don't make a difference. You know, the legislation in respect of transformation, which is killing South Africa, that is just going on. It's continuing. The parties that should make a difference stop it weren't able to do that. So, you know, business is feeling the absence of role players that is supposed to influence the ANC, and there are role players. Well, they're playing the game with the ANC. Transformation, the level of transparency, the speed of transformation is continuing, and transformation is almost a positive work. But this is destructive. This is killing business. And if you look at the unemployment figures, we see the result of business getting hamstrung. If we free up the hands of business, then you will see a difference in South Africa in a matter of weeks. They stand ready to make a difference. And BE and employment equity are two things that's really killing business. This is the thing that is keeping us back. We don't hear the main political parties in parliament making enough noise. Now, the thing is, they say they talk about it and the ANC isn't listening. Mm. Well, then what's the point of being there? Now, there's a lot of arguments, you know, EFF and MK.
But let's ask Corneille that. What's the point of being there if they're not listening, if they're tone deaf?
You have to be there. I was, and I'm still am, a serious supporter of the idea of a government of national unity. If you can be around the table where decisions are made and you can influence that, you should be there. But we should also realize what animal we are dealing with in terms of the ANC. For the ANC, the government of national unity was something that they needed to stay in power. And once again, this morning, I listened to Davi very closely. He referred to politicians quite often. And I listened to that, and I wanted to say, well, he must understand not all politicians are bad, not as all economists are also not bad. And he made the very strong point that it's in the hands. Well, he said the taxpayers are sick and tired of everything. It's in the hands of the same people out there to elect the right people to government. That's what you should do. So I believe one has to participate and has to be there.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas Medical Aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
And finally, Public Works and Infrastructure Minister Dean McPherson brought one of the stronger pieces of good news from the conference. He says the fight against construction mafias is beginning to show results, with hundreds of arrests and convictions and major disruptions in KwaZulu-Natal now falling sharply. It is a reminder that enforcement matters, especially when infrastructure is central to economic growth.
We demand value for money for every rand that we spend, and we will ensure that that is achieved. The fifth reform has been around one of the most destructive risks and dangerous risks facing infrastructure in this country, that is the so-called construction mafia. When I entered office, criminal syndicates and so-called business forums had become increasingly confident that they could arrive on construction sites, intimidate workers, demand money, and shut down billions of rands of economic development and activity without consequence. That does not only delay a project, ladies and gentlemen, it changes the entire investment decision and narrative about South Africa. No investment or investor, local and international, is willing to put capital into sites where criminal organizations run amok. And so we brought government, law enforcement, and the construction sector together. And everyone told me, Dean, don't go down this road. It's too dangerous. You're wasting your time. They're too powerful. I wasn't prepared to accept that. Since then, more than 770 cases of construction-related extortion and intimidation have now been reported. But more importantly, Alec, 241 arrests and 176 convictions have taken place since then, when everyone told me it couldn't be done. In KwaZulu-Natal, here in this province, the worst affected of them all, we've seen construction disruptions fall from nearly 60 a month to less than 10 in 2 years. And Cabinet has now approved the Integrated Social Facilitation Framework to take this work even further, because it creates a clear process and legitimate process for community participation. And they now become our first line of defense and our partners in protecting infrastructure. Local businesses now understand how they can compete fairly, and no one has the right to arrive on site and make threats. Where there is legitimate grievances, we deal with them, and where there is extortion, we arrest them. Ladies and gentlemen, we're beginning to see evidence that the construction sector can respond when conditions and confidence improves. After years of contraction, construction is starting, slowly, but starting, to return to positive growth.
That's your BizNews Daybreak for this Monday. Keep an eye on the BizNews YouTube channel as well as BizNews Radio for the full conversations, clips, and highlights from the conference. Please subscribe, share the show, and stay with BizNews for the stories behind the headlines. I'm Asim Nyite. Thanks for listening.
Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.